let's begin. We're up to Nechemi Perek Dal Pasuk Kei Vayomru Tzareinu Lo Yedu Lo Yiru Ana Shernovay El Toicham Vaharagnum Vishpasnu Es Hamalacha Pasuk Kei Perek Dal Pasuk Kei. We are continuing this description. Nechemi is describing the situation. We're going back to the beginning of the building of the wall. Nechemi has divided the wall into numerous sections. Each section was given to a different family, a different person was in charge, and suddenly they learn that they, well, we don't know that they learned yet, but the enemies, these groups, the Sanballat, Tovia, the Arvim, the Amoinim, Ashtoidim, they come together in a conspiracy. They form a band in a conspiracy to go to war against the Jewish people to prevent them from building the wall around Yerushalayim. And when the Jewish people sense that there is trouble is looming. There's very powerful pasuk yesterday, pasuk dalid, koshal kechasabol. They become weak. They lose their strength. They lost their strength because someone caused them to stumble, and they realize a lot of work that has yet to be done. But they just don't have the passion, the desire, the koyach to proceed and build a wall. And now we continue with that description of the situation. Vayomru tzareinu, our enemies have spoken. They have said, according to Rashi. Rashi says an important insight. Listen, right away, look at the Rashi. Pasakei ka choy nechemya mesaber v'hoylech. It's not so similar. Who is speaking in this pasuk? This pasuk can be viewed as separate from pasuk dal. Pasuk dal was spoken similarly by Nechemya. Nechemya is paraphrasing. He is describing the situation. The situation of the dire situation of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Hey, maybe Nehemiah is speaking, maybe someone else is speaking. But here, according to Rashi, Nehemiah is speaking, and he is repeating what our enemies are saying. Vayomru tzareinu lo yedu v'lo yiru, that the Jewish people will not know v'lo yiru, and they will not see. We will come in their midst. Vaharagnum. Now notice here, they're escalating the violence, the trouble. Before, it was only a milcham, a war. Now it's not just a war, it's they demand death. Now when you go to war, if your opponent is willing to surrender, it's not so bad. You don't necessarily want to kill your opponent in war. The purpose of war is surrender. Surrender, either, and if you don't want to surrender, then there'll be consequences. But here, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Now it says we're going to kill them. We're going to lay an ambush. We're going to attack, and we're going to kill the Jewish people. If you take this together, what we learned yesterday, the entire process, the procession, our first vayera be'enof. Back in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud, it was evil in their eyes, and then came to mockery by Al Igun Pasuk Yud Tes, and then in the beginning of this Perek we have Vayichar, anger. Now we're going further. It was Vayichar together with Vayikshiru. They were angry, and they conspired to do war, and now it's getting worse and worse. And now we don't just want war; we want to exterminate them. We want to wipe them out by killing them. So it's getting very, very worse. So then we're going to hide. Lo yedu lo yiru ad asher novo yel tochem will come within their midst. Vaharagnum, and we will kill them. Vehishpasnu es hamalacha. And we will cause the malacha to cease. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Vayomru tzareinu kachol nechem yom esab v'hoylech lo yedu v'lo yiru kachol yomim tzareinu elenu our enemies sit upon us lo yedu v'lo yakiru yisrael banu. We will hide ad asher novay pisayim l'saicham. We will come suddenly within them v'naharoy goysam uvadaber hazeh by killing them. Nishbois Mivatal Habinyan, the construction will come to a swift end. Let's see the Mitsudas Pasik Hey, Vayamu Tsarenu, Vayvenu Amru Nova Pisamal Alabinum, will come suddenly upon the, on the builders. Vilayedu Vadavalayu and Aisanu, they will not see us. And Ashanovi Al Toicham, Mamish, Viharagnu, Viharagnu Aisam, we will kill them. Uvazen Mivatal Hamalacha, we will cause the Malacha to come to an end. Kilo Yivnu Odbir Aisam, Shanafal Mehem Rav, and they will not build anymore when they see that many of their brethren have died, have perished in this attack. It's not worth to proceed constructing this wall because many of their own have died due to our attack. Pasuk Vav. It was when the Jews that lived among them came. They told us 10 times. This is a very hard pasuk, and there's a lot of ideas, suggestions as what this pasuk means. Let's learn a very simple, basic approach. The basic idea is there were Jews that infiltrated the enemy lines. Now, does that mean they this was part of a plan? They secretly they were spies. They made believe that they were from the Amoinim, from the Ashdodim, and they joined their ranks. And they made believe they were best friends with Sanballat. Or does it mean that, being that there were many Jews that lived in this region before, from before, they had no choice but to follow orders and be part of the enemy armies of these nations? But in any event, the idea is the same. They were Jews who in their heart were loyal to their brethren in Yerushalayim, who wanted very much the binyan of Yerushalayim to succeed, the Mikdash to remain, and the walls to go up. But they had no choice but to be part, to live among the Goyim who surrounded Yerushalayim, and even to a certain degree participate in the war on the wrong side. In other words, if you did not fight for the enemy, then they would be killed. They would be viewed as a traitor and they would be killed. But on the other hand, how can we go fight against our own brethren, our own brothers? So they secretly told the people in Yerushalayim, Nehemiah and his followers, about the plans of Sanballat to secretly attack the Jewish people. And this was told to them not once, it was told to them 10 times. Nehemiah and his followers received secret intelligence reports from spies or people, Jews, who were actually serving on enemy lines, serving with the enemy because they had no choice. But they were somehow able to sneak out secret messages, or maybe they came and they were able to tell them that, watch out, they're going to attack. And not only did they tell Nehemiah that you shall be prepared that they're going to attack, they told him exactly the plans. The secret battle plans were presented, and all of the locations where the enemy would lie in ambush, where they laid in ambush, and where they would attack from, were told to Nehemiah. With that in mind, let's just see the pasuk and the Rashi and the Mitzudas. Vayhi kasher bohu hayehudim. They were Jews. People who were Jews. Now, who are these Jews? Hayoshvim etzlam. These Jews lived among the Goyim. They lived among these 5 groups mentioned in the beginning of Perek Dalet. The Ashdodim, the Ammonim, Sanballat, Tovia. And they were living among them because either they had no choice, they were forced to live and to serve these nations, or they volunteered to live among these nations, to serve, to be spies, undercover agents, to find out what the Goyim have in store for the Jewish people. Vayomru lanu, these people came and told Nehemiah. Lanu means us, Nehemiah and my followers. Eser pe'amim, 10 times. They told us, they warned us 10 times, which means, and we've seen Rashi and Mitzvot, it doesn't mean literally 10 times, it means numerous times, over and over and over. It was verified, the information was verified, and they told us not just what they're planning to do, they told us about all of the places, the exact locations where the enemy is going to lie in ambush and will attack from. Mikol hamikoymos, all of the places, asher toshuvu eilein. Now toshuvu is a hard word in this context to translate because it's in the future tense and it literally means to return. So someone learned it means all of the places where we will come in the future to attack you. We will return. In other words, all the places where we're going to launch an attack in the future, we will return here to this specific location to come and attack you from there. So watch out. Let's see Rashi in the midst of the pasuk of Rashi. Rashi pasuk vayikach shabo hayudim viatah now neesuat sarim asher hiskashu yachad lovely lochim banu. Now what happened? All of our enemies, which joined this conspiracy together, all joined together. Lavo to come, lilochim banu, to fight against us. Im, who do they come to fight? Am hayuhudim asher yu hayu beino sam biartso sam. Together with Jews who are living with the enemy in the enemy land. Now the oisam hayuhudim, Rashi says, asher nischabu imohem, those enemies, those Jews that live with our enemies, bohu they came lifnei hachayil, kederech anshe hamulchama, ledaber eleinu, to speak to us. They came in front of the army, which seemingly means that they secretly came and told us their plans. Uveinyan hazen, in this matter, he'erimu hayuhudim es ha'oivim. They outsmarted. They tricked. They deceived the enemies, these Jews that were living with the Goyim. The Goyim thought that these Jews are traitors, that they're loyal to them. The truth was they were not traitors, they were really loyal to their own brethren. And they deceived the enemies by secretly coming and informing them of their plans. So now the pasuk goes on to tell us exactly what happened. They told us 10 times. They warned us 10 times. To prepare for war. Because they're coming for war. They told us, what does that mean? All of those locations along the perimeter of the wall which are breached, you should be very careful to fortify them, to gather together, to put an army. Im asher tashuvu eleinu, ad asher tashuvu eleinu, biyachad lilochim banu, until we come back to fight against you in those locations. So the Jews warning the other their brethren that we're going to return and we're going to wage war against you in these locations, and therefore make sure that you are ready. Make sure that you assemble a sizable army so that we do not have to. So that you will not be hurt when we come back and we return to fight against you. Okay, the mitzvah says something very similar. The Mesudas Pasuk Vav. The Mesudas Hayoshem Etzlam Biyari Hatsarim among the enemy cities. V'hayu heim nichnoim lohem, and they were under their control. These Jews had no choice but to follow the orders of the Goyim among whom they lived. Vayomulanu hayudim heim. History of these Jews who were living among the Goyim. They warned. Vizarzu asun. They warned us. Eser pamim. V'choy amru. And so they said. Hiskabsu mikol hamakomos. Gathered together from all of the places. Shatem befuzarim bohem asher kulchem tashuvu eleinu l'muchama. Make sure you get together. You gather together and be prepared for when we return to attack you. So here in the parenthesis explains kigam hayehudim machem bal korcham bo imatzarm la'aroi. So here he explains in much more detail, a little bit insight to what's going on over here, because these Jews had no choice but to join them bal korchach bohu imatzarim with the enemies la'aroiv al haboinim, to lay an ambush with against the builders. Aval gilui mitzvah hadar, but they were at least they revealed the secrets what was happening. La anshe Yerushalayim lios nishmona mehem, to be careful. So it was they
only pretended to fight with the goyim, but they
right they pretended
the details.
They pretended that they were fighting with the goyim and they had no choice, as the mitzvah begins, because hayu nichnoim lohem. If they did not pretend to fight or at least make believe they were fighting with the Goyim would kill them. They had no choice but to join the ranks of the non-Jewish armies, but at least they were kind enough to reveal secretly the secrets that what were the plans that the Goyim were trying to do to harm the Jewish people, and told them, make sure that you gather together so our armies will be mevatel, they will cancel the war when they see that you're prepared for us, so that we should not have to cause you any harm. Okay, so Pasuk Zayin. So now,
Rashi, it says, Ad Asher,
until we return, right.
Is it trying to tell us something, that they were only able to do it up until...
No. Ad is an expression, according to the most of the commentators, and that's not on the page here, but it means many, many times. Esther, 10 times, is just an poetic expression that we received multiple reports that the enemy is about to attack at this location, at this location, at this location, and we should gather together and be prepared to fight. And if the enemy comes and sees that we're prepared to fight, they'll cancel the war, because they don't want to be harmed. And the Jews on the other side of the battle, meaning the Jews that were participating with the enemy, told them, you have to prepare, because otherwise we're not going to have a choice. We're going to have to shoot at you. And we don't want to shoot at our brothers, so make sure you gather together, and if our general, when he sees that you are prepared for war, will cancel the war so no one will be hurt. Pasuk Zayin. So how does Nehemiah respond to this warning? Va'amid mitachtios. A very unusual word. I prepared spies. Okay, the people before in Pasuk, the Yehudim were also spies. But here this means also tachtios. Tachtios comes from amtachas. It means a sack. Something underground, beneath. They lied in hiding to watch the movements of the enemy as they approached the city. Va'amid, I stationed mitachtios. If you look at the mitzudos David, I prepared mitachtios lamakom. Mitachas mekoyim habinyan, below losh of tachas, below the place of the construction, me'achori hachayma, behind the wall, klap yachutz, towards the outside, I stationed people. Me'achori, the pasuk goes on to say, me'achorei lachayma, behind the wall, batzichichim. Batzichichim means in the rocks. These people were hidden in the clefts of the rocks, in the clefts. Va'amid esa'am l'mishpachos. I then station people according to their family. I divided up the people based upon their family, and the Mefarshim explained because he felt that if families would fight for each other more than fighting for someone who you don't know. If your own family is together, it's your brother, your sister, your father, your child, you'll fight with greater resolve, greater passion, than if everyone is mixed together. It's a very scary thing. Go to war, and every battalion, everyone is a cousin. In a battalion, you're all relatives in the battalion, so you're going to fight for each other. If you have just strangers, okay, you love it, but you're not going to fight the same way for a stranger as if you'll fight for your own brother. That's according to one interpretation. So I established some of the mishpachot according to the families, in the charvoisim with their swords, rimochayim, their spears, vikashis soiseihem, and bows and arrows. Three different types of offensive weapons. A cheref is close battle, a spear is when you're on the attack, and a bow is from distance. You can stay here and you can fire a missile, shoot an arrow at a great distance. But the common denominator of all three different types of weapons, these are all weapons for the offensive. When you go on the offense, you attack in close proximity with your cheref. A spear is a more forceful type of a march. You march with a spear in front of you to attack, and you shoot at a distance with your bows. Pasuk Ches. After I saw the situation, I stood up, and I said, El ha-choyrim, v'el ha-sigonim. These are two different categories of people which appear very often in the Sefer Nehemiah. The choyrim are the free people, they're nobles, and the sigonim are also nobles. I'm not sure the difference. Two different categories of communal leaders. These are very wealthy people that are in charge. Yes, sir. I told the remainder of the other people, Al tiru mipnehem, do not be afraid. Es Hashem Hagadol v'hanayra zucharu. So here we have only Hashem that's Gadol v'hanayra. We don't have Gibar, okay? We don't have Gibar. We have here Gadol v'hanayra, and we don't have Kel. Instead of Kel, we have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud zucharu. Remember Hashem in every single moment. V'ilochamu al achichem, and fight. Al here means b'shvil. Fight for your brethren, b'neichem your sons, uvenosechem your daughters, nisheichem your wives, uvoteichem, and for your possessions. He put over here first, you know, rishon, what was more important first. Your property is the least important. What's more important is your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and then finally come your property. So he told them, I saw and I prepared the people and I told them to get ready for war. Notice what Nehemiah is doing is something very similar to the Meshuach Milchama. The Meshuach Milchama first tells a group of people, anyone that is afraid shall leave. And first he tells anyone that built a bias, anyone that got married, anyone planted a vineyard and did not inaugurate the vineyard 4 years, did not bring up the Netar Ravai, you shall leave the battlefield. And then he goes on to say, Mihu ish hayorei v'rach halevav yelech v'yashov leveso. And then he tells the remainder, whoever is not afraid, everyone that's left over, he tells them, do not be afraid, Hashem will fight for you, Hashem yilachem lechem, Hashem will fight for you, and that's exactly what he's doing over here. But notice over here, he does not give anyone any exemptions. There are no exceptions. Why are there no exceptions? So similar to this, the Melchemes Mitzvah. And at Melchemes Mitzvah, there are no exceptions. When it comes to Melchemes Rishus, that's where the Kohen Moshiach Muhammad tells the people, anyone who built a bayis, anyone that got married, anyone that planted a vineyard can leave. And anyone that's a yarm from the Mitzvah, from Adon Haveira, he was sach, afilu sach, bein tefillin shal yad, tefillin shal rosh, he can leave. But when it comes to Melchemes Mitzvah, then no one is allowed to get an exemption. Everyone must fight, even a chosan and a kala. So here, he's not giving any exceptions. Seemingly, this is a Melchemes Mitzvah. That's what it would appear to be. And he's just telling them, do not be afraid, Hashem will fight your battles. But one thing you shall keep in mind, Zichoru, Hashem HaGadol V'Hanayra Zichoru, remember Hashem. And there is no mention over here of the word Hagibar. We discussed this in the beginning of Sefer Nehemiah, because this was a Tkufa where they still felt, Ayei Givu Reisav. Where are the mighty deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Jewish people to be exiled and the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. And even now, when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but there was still a very great threat, they were very, very weak, such a state, a very, very difficult situation, it was not yet apparent the Givuroisav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, following in the theme of the times, the word Gibar was omitted from the Bakasha. But he did tell them, HaGadol V'Hanayra Zichoyu. Now we know there's a very famous story, Rav Schwab brings this down from the Briskerov, the Soloveitchiks, that there's a tradition that the person is thinking constantly, Ein Oid Milvado, he will not be harmed. On a very high level, and you're able to fully concentrate that there's nothing in the world, Hashem Hu Elokim, Ein Oid Milvado, it's impossible for harm to come your way. And there is a story with the Briskerov and his son. They escaped from the Nazis, so their plan was they were going to go to the train station, dress up like regular businessmen in disguise, not to look too Jewish, buy tickets, get on the train and escape. And the Nazis were on a manhunt for them and for anyone that looked slightly Jewish. And he told his son, we're going to go, and you have to fully concentrate every single moment. Hashem Hu Hu Elokim Ein Od Milvado. And if you fully concentrate, it is impossible for, there's such a tradition from Chaim Voloshin. This was from the Briskerov, had this tradition going back from generations. If you can, I don't know if today we're on a level where we have such concentration, where we can do such a thing, but if you can do such a thing, it's muftach, you will be spared from any harm. And they did this, and then there was one very dangerous moment when a Nazi was looking up and down the Briskerov's son, I don't know which one, was looking up and down, and he reminded his son, don't be Mesiach Das. Don't take your mind off HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hu Elokim, Ein Od Milvado, even for a split second. and he right away was mechazik himself, and the Nazi just forgot about him. He looked the other way, he went forward, and they were spared. And really, this idea, this tradition that goes back from hundreds of years, that in the time of Sakana, to think fully about Hashem, Hu Elokim, Einan Mulvado, is rooted here in this pasuk. They're at battle, it's an extremely dangerous situation. The Jews were far, far outnumbered by Sanballat, Tovia, the Amoinim, Ashdodim. And what did Nehemiah tell the people? Prepare for battle. And he told them, Hashem HaGadol V'Hanayra Zichoyru. Just think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Hu Elokim. Just think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24/7 and you will be spared from any harm. Okay, let's go over here. Rashi Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. What did he do? He did something very strange. He went and he established Nehemiah. He put in spies, or he stationed people to guard when the enemies are coming. Va'amid, I stationed mitachtios lachoima, people beneath the wall. Kasher shemat divrei, when I heard from these Jews, our Jews from the other side, who were so kind to come and tell us the plans of the Goyim. Hemadati mitachtios lo oso mokom saviv liyushalayim me'achori l'choy masrir. Those places which we were told enemy would return, toshuvu, we will return in the future to attack you at this specific location, I stationed at that location in hiding behind the wall in the cleft of the rock, people to stand guard. B'tzachichim, I put their people in the rocks. L'mishbuchos mina'om migiborim shabohem im klei zayin shabohem lilochim be'oyveinu kasher yavohu. According to the families, everyone was arranged. The armies were divided according to the families, and they should be prepared to fight with their weapons when the enemy would attack. Then Rashi says, v'amid mitachtios v'amid esa'om nikrezed. Dugenes. Okay, gives a little some dictic, this is a poetic expression. Okay, let's go go to Pasuk Ches and Rashi. When I saw the enemy coming, I spoke to the leaders. The Choyrim means the B'nai Choyrim. It's a short word. Choyrim means people who are free. V'hasagonim lezarzam lilochem b'yoyveinu. I told the leaders, make sure you fight. For who? Al achichem. Al here is interpreted to mean bishvil. Fight for your brothers, for your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your possessions, your batim. Okay, let's now jump to the next pasuk. Let's go forward. Let's go to pasuk tes. Okay, the mitzvah is pretty much the same thing, so we'll jump to pasuk tes. Bahi kasher shamu oyveinu, so it worked. The plan of Nehemiah worked. It was when our enemies heard ki noda lanu, that it was known to us. When the enemies learned that we became aware of their plans and we were prepared for them, we assembled, we rallied the troops, and we were lying in ambush, waiting to attack them when they would attack us to a preemptive attack. Vayofer hu elokim es atzosam. So this is something which is truly amazing. Who went and annulled their plans? It was Hashem. So the average person, the average general, will take credit for himself. Here, Nehemiah is saying, we received intelligence reports at Eser Panim, enemy is coming, we know exactly where they are planned to attack from, we assembled our army, everyone is ready for them, we have spies in ambush, we have spies in hiding, and we have people in ambush waiting to attack, and now the enemy comes, and the enemy sees that we're ready for them, so they know it's not a good idea, and they cancel the war. So the general will typically say, I get the credits, I'm a genius, I gathered the intelligence, I stationed spies, I assembled my army, I divided them up according to their families, I gave everyone the right type of weapon, I'm a brilliant general. No, the one that gets the credit is Vayofer Hu Elokim Es Atzosan. It was Hashem who annulled their plan. It's also very interesting that the word here is Elokim Midas Hadin. In the previous pasuk, it says, when he tells the people to remember Hashem, he says, Aleph, Dalid, Nun, Yud, Adonis, the Master. As Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira Zichoyru. If you remember Hashem, who is the Odoin, now the Odoin is not an expression of Din. It's not necessarily either Yudke Vavke. It does border on Rachamim. We all know that Yudke Vavke is the Nida of Rachamim. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is not 100% the Nida of Rachamim, but it is partially because the way we pronounce Yudke Vavke is Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Right, so there are many ways to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was Kel, it's mighty. We have Elokim, it's Midas Hadin. And then we have Yudke Vavke. But being that we do pronounce Yudke Vavke with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud also is Mirames to the Midah of Rachamim. When you are Mevakesh Rachamim from Hashem, He saves you with Din. You deserve to be saved. When a person says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, we deserve it, then not only will we discover that we are not deserving with Din, Hashem says, I'm not going to have Rachmanis on you either. So like we have, for example, the Gemara with Chizkiah. The Gemara is anyone that asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him in his own zuchus, he's not saved. But if he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be saved in the zuchus of someone else, then what? Then you're saved. The person has to recognize, don't take too much credit for yourself. Don't think too highly of yourself. That is the ultimate success. And that's exactly what you see over here. Here they're being told, you should focus on Hashem's rachamim, Hashem's mercy. When Hashem sees that we're asking for mercy, we recognize that we are not deserving, and we're asking for kindness, then Hashem says, no. Not only will I save you because of mercy, you're such good people. You're righteous, upright people. I'm going to save you because you deserve to be saved. And when Hashem saves you because you deserve, it's a much greater salvation than just saving with rachamim. And that's what we see over here. They're being told to focus on Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, HaGodol, VeHanoira, Zichoyru, and who has annulled the plans of our enemies? VaYofer, Hu Elokim, Esat Sosam. Midas, even Midas Hadin is willing to agree that, because Midas Hadin, you need a lot more to win with Midas Hadin than you need to win with Midas Sarachamim. Because Midas Hadin is 100%. Midas Rachamim is even 1% you'll win. Hashem says, I view you to be such tzaddikim, I'm going to give you 100%. Why? Because we will mevakesh with Midas Rachamim.
Or the more pushback side is that the Midas Hadin going on the enemies.
Midas Hadin is only going relative to the Jewish people. It's going on the enemies. How much will Hashem punish the enemies? Only because we're deserving. I mean, of course, the Midas Hadin is being delivered to the enemy only because of us, only based upon how much we deserve. So there are two important points to keep in mind. Nehemiah did not take credit for the success. He had a very sophisticated battle plan, extremely sophisticated. Ikar chosam in ha-sefer. We're only being told the bare bones, the skeleton of his plan. We learn over here this elaborate plan. There are spies. They're telling about what's happening on Eser Pamim. He puts people in hiding underneath the mountain, behind the wall, in the tzachtzichim. Each one of these words opens up worlds of what's going on. He divides everyone according to their families. He speaks to the choirim, to the sagonim, and then he gives everyone different types of weapons, a spear, a sword, a bow and arrow, and we're ready, we go to the certain locations. There's a lot of hishtadlos. This is not just everyone go to shul and we'll say a mizmor of Tehillim after davening is over. This is major, major league hishtadlus that's taking place over here.
General.
Yeah, he's a field general and he's in charge and he's surveying v'era, v'akum. We just read the psukim very quickly. But if you go through every single nuance, every single pasuk, this is kisvei kodesh, is a major hishtadlus that's taking place. So today, Why did we survive? Iron Dome. Iron Dome. This is what it's all about. Not that you have to. I mean, you have to, don't get me wrong. That's the whole plan. That's when Pas Perek Dalet begins. When you hear there's a problem, the first thing you got to do is Vanispalel Elolokeinu. Number two, Vanamid Mishmor Aleihem. That's the next thing. There's no question about it. There has to be major league hishtadlus bizman hazeh. That's what Nechemiah is telling us for Golas. But yet, when you succeed, you have to recognize it's not your success. It's Vayofer. It's Hashem who has annulled their plans, not our great, brilliant strategic plan. And we have to recognize in this pasuk it's Elohim, and it only came because this incredible idea, Hashem hu Elohim eden muvadoi, Hashem ha-godol v'ha-neira, zichoyru, concentrate on HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the time of battle. Yeah?
Can we learn anything from the term Kor Elohim?
What? Possibly.
Could have said very simple,
by your friend Elohim. Okay, possibly. Okay, there must be some, I don't know the answers, but yes, I every single letter obviously is here for a reason. Nothing is extra.
No, it's extra, therefore it needs an explanation.
An explanation, correct. Absolutely. I don't know what the explanation is, but there must be something very deep, 100%. There's no extra letter in the entire sefer. Kinoi da'alon v'yafar halukim es atzasim, their plans, v'anoshav kulonu elachoyma, and therefore now we were able to go back to work. Now that their plan came, that their plans were annulled, there was no longer the war was cancelled, their desire to attack us was cancelled, we were able to return to work. Now according to most of the Mefarshim, there was a pause in the construction. Because now we're going to see in the next psukim where they get back to work. But when they go back to work, every builder has assigned to him a soldier to protect him. And not only does the builder have security, the builder himself also has a weapon. So everyone is carrying weapons, and every worker has a team of people that are there to protect him. But what about in the meantime? So it appears, according to some of the psukim, that in the meantime, until the major threat passed, the work was cancelled, or the work was put on hold, because every single person got ready for this battle. Other commentators disagree. Others say that there was never a halt, there was never a pause in the construction. And what we're going to learn in the future, in the next psukim till the end of the parak, is really an explanation and an elaboration of what was taking place during this period of time. Okay, but let's go. You see the Rashi pasuk tes. Rashi ki noyde lanu hadav asher banu lilochem, when we became aware, it became when our enemies became aware that we know what they are planning, Vanoshav Kulanu, and all of us, and then they cancel their plan to kill us, to attack. After they cancel their plan to attack, we all returned to our mission of rebuilding the walls. Vanoshav Kulanu Chazanu Kulanu Mimokam Shenes V'Yachad. According to Rashi, there was a break in the construction, so we now return to the Mimokam from the place Shenes Safnu Yachad Likras Oivim, where we gathered to go to war. Kolechad V'Yachad B'Malachtoi Lebinacham. We now return to continue the construction. The Mitzudos and Pasuk Tes says, Noida lanu asher hema roitzim lovo yoleinu pesaim, when it was known to us, when they became aware that we know what their plans are, pesaim v'nishmar manu mehem v'yofer ki loy bohu me'ati lochim l'hashveh sabin. They stopped, they canceled their plans. V'noshav achar asher shamanu ki chadalnu lovo Shavnu el hachoymo lasois hamalacha. Pasuk Yud. Vayihi was min hayamahu, and was from that day and forward. So the Nechemi now says, Chatsi ne'orai. Now the word ne'orai is a difficult word. Ne'orai is not a very common word in Tanakh. It's ne'orim. Ne'orai means my men. Nechemi is calling the young men my young men. My men, half of my men did the malacha, they built the construction. The chetzia machazikim, and half of them, Machazikim vihorimochim. Now, the vav of vihorimochim is extra. I told you there's no extra letter, but it's a style of writing. We are more familiar with reading Hebrew as if the word the vav of vihorimochim would be absent. So let's just read it for the sake of simplicity. Then we'll come back and we'll understand there's no extra letter. The vav is there for a reason. It's part of the style of writing. But basically, what it means: half of the people were machazikim, horimochim were holding on to spears, and homoginim shields.
Defensive,
correct. Now we're dealing with defensive weapons. Vehakishasos, bows and arrows. Vashir yoinim, armor. Okay, here we have armor. We didn't have that before. That's also defensive. Vehasarim, and they were generals. Acharei kol beis Yehuda, behind every home, every center, to coordinate the army, to coordinate the shomrim, the people that would guard the builders. Let us see the Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud vayiv min hayemahu umei also yom behold from that in forward hoyu chatzi hagiborim oisim bebinyon. Half of the giborim would work, would engage in the construction. Bebinyon hachayma ushur chatzi hagiborim. The other half of the men hoyu mizuyonim were armed bechlei zainam with their weapons lishmar acheihem ha'isim b'malacha to guard their brothers who were involved in the construction. V'horimachim. So Rashi here says the vav of v'horimachim is yisera, kimo vav shel ve'ayah ve'anah in Bereshis. Ve'ayah ve'anah, the word the vav there also is extra. It's a style of Hebrew writing. But as far as our translation, it's as if the pasuk just says half of them are holding on to spears and shields. Okay, next Rashi ve ha shir yoinim. What is shir yoinim? Hayu mechubadim achrei kol shevet Yehuda liyos zehidim b'muchama. Armor. Armor was people wearing armor. People that were dressed in armor were stationed behind every one of the shvatim. Each one of the families, it's not clear if all of the Shvatim were present, because we know that the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled. So there are different opinions that only a few of them, that there were a few members of each Shevet that did represent their Shevet. The vast majority of the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled. But there were definitely small families that did remain for each one of the Aseres HaShvatim, which represented the Shvatim. They were stationed behind, people wearing armor were stationed behind Achrei Kol Shevet Yehuda. Leos, well, here's the Shevet Yehuda. Leos Zehir and Muhammad to be prepared for war. So here's Shevet Yehuda. But it refers also to other people. They were behind every single shevet to protect them. Okay, let's see the mitzvahs in pasuk yud. Menayemu from that day onward, Asher. Now we did that. Menayemahu Asher Shamu Shoyu Atzalim Chafetz Lovelin L'Muchama Machazigim Oichzim Yadam Harmachim. They held onto the weapons. Acharei Hayuholchem Tamid Acharei Kol Amlios Nuchonim Lilochim Im Yovay Arif. They were an army ready for battle. Pasuk yud Aleph. Haboynim Bachoyma. There were people that were building Bachoyma, Vehanoisim Basevel Oimsim, and those that were carrying burdens. Now, Oimsim means a burden. We had this before, we did not have this.
Loads.
So, Sevel Oimsim, the two words are really grouped together. There were people that were actually putting the bricks in place, the stones in place, and there were people specialized in carrying, in transporting large stones from the mountain or stones, rubble that was left over from the bayi, from the churban of the bayis rishon to the walls. The achas, with one hand, yodoy oisem amalacha. One hand they did work. Uva achas machazekes hasholach. What is sholach? A weapon. One hand they held a weapon, a dagger, and on the other hand they were putting cement into the wall or lifting the stone or carrying the load. That is how dangerous the situation was. Even though the immediate threat was over, it was still dangerous. Every single person that was involved in the construction had to hold a dagger in one hand and do his work with the other hand. Let's see.
You really have a lot of confidence in this one.
I guess not. Okay, let's just see pasuk Yud Beis. One more pasuk. Okay, one more pasuk, and we'll stop and we'll do the rashis together. V'ha-boinim, but we have to understand the pasuk tells us not everyone was able to only use one hand. There were people that needed to use two hands. So those people, they had a spear or a sword tied onto their waist. So both hands were free, but their weapon was immediately available in case they needed to draw their sword. So those people that can improvise, can only use one hand, and can hold a weapon with one hand, did so. If I can just carry a load with one hand on my shoulder and balance it with one hand, and my other hand I can hold a weapon, that would be better. But if I couldn't, the nature of my skill, my work is to use both hands to put the stone in place, then the next best thing was to attach a weapon to my waist. So just in case of an emergency, I can drop the stone, pull out my sword, and go to battle with the enemy. The Habayim, the people that were actually involved in putting the bricks into the building, into the wall, Ish Charbo, his sword, Asurim, was tied, was connected, was bound, Al-Masnav, on his loins, on his waist, on his thighs. Ubainim, and would build, V'atokeh b'shofar etzli, and there was a person who had a shofar, a siren, next to etzli, referring to Nehemiah, this symbol refers to Nehemiah, was near me, in case I noticed an emergency, we would sound the horn, and that would be a signal, everyone drop what you're doing, come to the place where the shofar is being sound, because we're under attack and we have to defend ourselves. Let's see the Rashi's and Pasuk Yudafi Beis. We'll stop. Rashi Aboinim B'Chayma. Oysam Shohayu Boinim. The Oysam Shohayu Oimsim V'Noisim Hamasos. The people that were doing the construction, the people that were carrying heavy loads. B'Yad Achas Hayu Oisim Malachtam. With one hand they would do their labor. U'V'Yad Achas Hayu Noisim Klei Zayin. Sholach means a weapon. Sholach means to send forward. A weapon is something that you send forward. You send forward your spear. You send forward your dagger. If you have a bow and arrow, you send forward the arrow. The arrow goes forward. A sholach is a generic term for a weapon. Hasholach, klei krov, a weapon. Kamo Ma'avar b'shalach, to pass through with your weapon. A pasuk in Chibur Menachem, a pasuk in Iyov, and Menachem was a colleague of Rashi, who made the preceded Rashi. He wrote a dictionary, and he also translates this unusual word as a shalach, as a weapon. V'haboinim, Kate said, "How you buy them? So you kulam chagurim. How do they build? So you kulam chagurim ish chabo al mostav. Buy them that people who needed to the builders. It's going back to the previous pasuk. People that needed to use two hands. When they would need to use two hands, they would tie a sword on their thigh. Buy them. They would build etzli. Who how you tarid etzli? Nechemi then says that there was a person with a shofar who knew how to blow a loud siren. Who was always at my side because Nechemi was in charge. He was the general. On the one hand, he was the general. On the other hand, he was the Gadol Hadar. On the other hand, he was the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, telling them, Al Yerach Levavchem, don't be afraid. Just focus on remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He fulfilled all of these roles. Okay, we're at Mitzudas, and we'll start Mitzudas Pasik, Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Mitzudas, Hanoisim Asavol, Hanoisim B'masa, people who carried burdens. Ulutasefes Beir Omar Shuv Oimsim. The Mitzudas takes note that there is poetic repetition in this Pasik. The word Oimsim is the same as the word Sevel. So, Hanoisim Basevel. Sevel means a burden. Oimsim means also someone that carries a burden. So what's the purpose of this repetition? So it's just a poetic repetition to people that would carry all different types of heavy loads. I told you yesterday that someone to translate the word as sevel means the cushion. The cushion that goes on the shoulder underneath the heavy stone. You don't put a heavy stone directly on your shoulder, you'll bruise your shoulder. You first put a cushion on top of the cushion, you put the heavy stone. Machzekes ha-sholach, oichezes ha-cheref. So the Mitzvah is more precise. It doesn't just say a weapon, he says that a sholach is a sword. Ish, kol ish ha-yecharbo kosher al-mosnov, kishuboine, every individual, every worker had a sword on his thigh when he built. There was a person who knew how to blow a shofar, stood by me in case it was an emergency. We would blow the shofar and everyone would join together. Okay, we'll stop over here.